Galatians chapter 1. That's a fitting song to sing each time we come together. How merciful. When we go home after this service, we sit down to eat, oh, how merciful thou art to me. When we get up in the morning and go to work, oh, how merciful thou art to me. We go through the day, oh, how merciful thou art to me. His mercy is on us continually. It's like a shield. It surrounds us. It engulfs us. We are engulfed in the mercy of God. And that's true. Galatians chapter 1, I'm going to pick up in verse 11. And I'm going to try to do the rest of this chapter. The title of the lesson, All of Grace, All of Grace. Salvation's all of grace from beginning to end. Now to the end of chapter 2, Paul continues to defend his apostleship. And the more I read this, and as I was reading it this week, I realized how important this is. Not to the Galatian churches only, but even to us, to this day. This is how important this is. If Paul is not an apostle, you can take one half, at least one half of the New Testament and throw it in the trash. Because it's written by him. And to this day, you and I read those epistles. And we are instructed out of those epistles. This is how important what Paul is saying in these first two chapters are. He is an apostle. And the gospel that he received directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important to us. Now he says in verses 11 and 12, but I certify, I say to you, brethren, and notice how he calls them brethren. He's so tender. I would to God I could learn from Paul how to be tender. Remember the letter he wrote to the Corinthians? He said, I didn't come to you, and the reason I didn't come to you is I didn't want to discipline you. I'm paraphrasing, but I didn't want to have to discipline you. I want to give you space to repent and correct so I don't have to deal with it in a harsh manner. Because he could do it. And he says here, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not a man's gospel. Now, what does Paul mean by this? Well, he's saying man did not devise his way back to God. This is not something of man's devising. Adam, when he was kicked out of the garden, was not allowed to work his way back. He was kicked out. And he was not allowed to work his way back. And the gospel is not a man-made gospel. Man didn't devise it. And Paul's saying that I did not receive the gospel from any man. And listen, as you and I do. God has given us his spirit. We are taught by the spirit of God. But now, God teaches us by his spirit through pastors and teachers. That's what they're given for. It's what I'm doing right now. I'm instructing you. You're sitting there with the Bible open and you're listening to me. And by God's grace, the spirit of God is teaching you, but he's also teaching you through me, instructing you. We learn the gospel that way. God sent Henry Mahan along and taught me the gospel. I learned the gospel by the Spirit of God sitting under my pastor Henry. Paul did not learn that way. Paul did not learn the gospel from any human being. The Lord revealed the gospel to him directly. He got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Peter and John and the other apostles. That's what he's saying. You see, Paul learned Phariseeism. He did learn Phariseeism. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He said, I sat at his feet. But I tell you whose feet he sat at when he learned grace. He sat at the feet of Christ. That's where he sat, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul received the gospel by direct revelation from the Lord. And it's very important in reference to him being an apostle, because that was required in order to be an apostle. Now, Paul's life, he gives here, he gives a brief history of his life. And it's very important. It's very important there in verse 13, 14, because Paul was wrapped up in Judaism. He was wrapped up in what those men had who had come in and troubled the church. He says, I was wrapped up in that. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not confronting something here that I don't know anything about. I know what I'm talking about. He was wrapped up in the law before Christ saved him. And that's what he says over in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee. And, you know, I've just... He gives his history there, just like he does here. And he says in verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, in Judaism. How that beyond measure... This is how it came across to Paul. Paul said there was no measure to what I was doing. I hated God so much. I hated Christ so much you couldn't measure it. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father, which he's talking about the law that was given to his fathers. Paul reminds them that they heard of his past. The Galatians were aware of Paul's past life in Judaism, in Jewish religion. And they were aware how he hated the Lord Jesus Christ, how he persecuted the church, and how he wasted it. He was very religious, very religious. He said, I was exceedingly zealous. Exceedingly zealous. And you know about that. He said that you've heard about it. If anyone could be saved by the law, this is what Paul's saying. If anyone could be saved by the law, it would be me. He said, it would be me. If you could be saved by circumcision, if you could be saved by adding circumcision and the law, and I would be saved by that. That would be me. This is the point he's driving across here. This very fact that I am not saved, that I've never preached that I was saved by any works, by any law keeping, that ought to put you on guard, because I've never preached it to you. I've never brought this to you. And I was exceedingly zealous and more educated than any of my equals, my age group, my peers. Paul said they couldn't even compare to me. Now you say, well, that's boasting. Actually, he needs to right here, because of what's at stake. He needs to. So he's telling them here that if anybody can be saved by the law, it would be me. It would be me. But he's saying here, I was a self-righteous hypocrite. I wasn't saved by any of those things that I formerly did in my law keeping. I didn't do it. There was no reason for God to save me. It was all of grace. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul's message to the Gentile was always, always grace. Grace upon grace. But when it pleased God, and while I was keeping the law, while I was going along being this zealous, overzealous, exceedingly zealous Pharisee, and I was on that road to Damascus, and I was going to waste the church. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, there in verse 15, 17, and called me by the law, by grace. You see, he sets the law aside. The law had nothing to do with my salvation. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, that's me and you. You know we are the seed of that ministry. You know that? I was thinking of that this morning. This church right here in Spring Lake, Bethel Baptist Church, is the seed of that ministry. It's still bearing fruit. It's still bearing fruit to this day. Among the heathens. I tell you what, if God makes you to know yourself, he makes us to know ourselves. We know this. We are heathens, aren't we? We are a bunch of heathens. Might be educated, might be a little better educated, but we're just educated heathens. We're still heathens. Gentiles. Immediately when this happened, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. You know, Henry has a message on when is a man saved. And he's coming from this portion of Scripture. And the first point of it is this, when it pleases God. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Now, in saying this, when he separated me from my mother's womb, I'm going to read to you what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said this. This is a Hebrew expression meaning to sanctify, ordain, and prepare. Paul is saying, when I was not yet born, God ordained me to be an apostle, and in due time confirmed my apostleship before the world. Every gift, be it small or great, spiritual or temporal, and every good thing I should ever do, God has ordained while I was yet in my mother's womb, where I could neither think nor perform any good thing. After I was born, God supported me, heaping mercy upon mercy. He freely forgave my sins, replenishing me with his grace to enable me to learn what great things are ours in Christ. To crown it all, he called me to preach the gospel to others. God predestinated. He ordained, first of all, that I should be a child of God, just like me and you. And then he predestinated my office as an apostle for Paul as an apostle. And I tell you, God predetermined and predestinated and ordered and ordained our position in life right now. We didn't just happen to be born in America and born to the family we were born to and work where we work. God ordained all that. Our God is a God of order. Our God is a God of order. He has ordered all things. David said that he has ordered all things and are sure. He's made a covenant with me, ordered in all things and sure. Now, he says here, Paul says this, he called me by his grace. He didn't call me by any law, any commandment. He called me by grace, unmerited favor. I did not, as a law keeper, as a Pharisee, as a moralist, I did not earn God's favor. I need God's grace as much as a harlot needs God's grace. As much as a demon-possessed man needs God's grace, I needed it. Even more, because I tell you what, one of the worst sins of all, if we can catalog sin, is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness robs God of his chief glory, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. Oh, he called me by his grace, not according to my law-keeping or holy life, but by grace. Grace upon grace. Paul does not mention anything about the law in reference to God saving him. You notice that? You'll notice that all through here. He never mentions anything in reference to the law when it comes to God saving him. It's always by grace. And then he says here in verse 16, God called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. That's not a play on words. That's so. Here's what happens. God called me by his grace. One day God called you by his grace. And God revealed his son in you and to you. When God revealed his son in you, the Spirit of Christ is in you. And the Spirit of Christ being in you reveals himself to you because he's the light. And the light's in you. You know, it's not like I'm just, like you and I, we see the light of the sun. We see it with these eyes because, and it's all outward. But this heavenly light that's revealed to us is put in us. The light is in you. It's coming from within. It's a new creation. Let there be light, God said in the beginning. And when God saves a sinner, that's the first thing he commands is light. Light. And here's the message Paul is to preach to the Gentiles. It's a revelation of the Son of God. And listen, that revelation, when God reveals Christ in you, when that's revealed in you, you know what it brings? It doesn't bring, listen, it doesn't bring guilt. It doesn't bring fear, not a slavish fear. It brings peace. It brings joy. The law reveals and makes you feel guilty. It's what makes you to understand and feel guilty when the law comes and condemns you. You know, when the law condemns you, that's you're standing guilty before God. The law is condemning you before God. But when Christ comes, when Christ is revealed, peace is given. My peace I give unto you. I give unto you. You get peace from Christ, from a revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul's also saying here that when he was called by God's grace to reveal his son in him, he's saying this, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking. This is not something I learned in school. It's something I learned from God himself. I know what this is something I experienced. You can tell when somebody's talking about something, whether they have experienced it or not. You can tell. You know, when they have experienced it, their heart is in it. I mean, they're engaged in it. But if it's just something they've learned, they're just transferring knowledge to the listener. That's all they're doing. Paul was doing more than transferring knowledge. He was preaching Christ. He was communicating the gospel. And that's different. And he's telling us also here that salvation is a revelation of a person, and it's a revelation of that person in you. Christ is in you. He is salvation, and he's in you. You don't need to keep a law. You don't need to do anything to be saved. You don't need to add to Christ. In him, the scripture says, Paul writes in Colossians, in him you are complete. You're complete. And then Paul says that that Christ was revealed in him that he might preach him among the heathen. Everyone whom God saves, first of all, he saves on purpose, and he saves for a purpose. And Paul's purpose was to preach Christ to Gentiles, not the law. He didn't carry the Ten Commandments around with him. He didn't carry the Levitical law around with him. He didn't carry them around with him. He carried around with him the gospel that was revealed to him. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When I was called by God's grace and his son was revealed in me, I didn't ask Ananias to explain the gospel to me. I didn't ask anyone in Damascus. I didn't go to anyone in Damascus, sit down and say, tell me about the gospel. Tell me about the gospel. Like Philip did to the eunuch. Paul said, I didn't do that. You remember that eunuch said, who's this man talking about? Himself or another? And then Philip took Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Jesus. That didn't happen with Paul. Paul said, I didn't go to any man. He's establishing his apostleship here. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul, what he says he did here, look in let me get back over here to Acts. Or not, I don't mean Acts, but Galatians. I'm thinking of Acts. In verse 17, in chapter 1. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. I didn't confer with flesh and blood in Damascus. I did not go up to Jerusalem to find the other apostles and sit down at their feet and learn the gospel and get their approval. I didn't go to get their approval. I have God's approval. You know, when you have God's approval, you don't need anybody else's. Let me say it this way. We need God's approval first. We need his approval first. He says, so neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Nobody knows, from my readings anyway, nobody knows how long he was in Arabia. I don't know that. But you know what he did whenever Ananias came and put his hands on him and recognized him as an apostle, as the Lord's apostle, and set apart for that purpose? When Ananias recognized him, you know it says he immediately went out in Acts chapter 9, I think it's verse 20. He immediately went out and preached Christ. He immediately went out in Damascus and started preaching the gospel. You know, I sat under Henry for years. I went to the preacher school for 2 years. I sat under him, and I sat there under Henry for probably at least 2 years before I ever preached the first thing. Before I ever said the first thing, I sat and I listened. I listened. And every young man ought to sit and listen. But Paul immediately, that's how clear God revealed, Christ revealed himself to Paul and the gospel to Paul. And Paul was able, with his education that God had given him, see, this is the providence of God. God did not call Paul because he was a very educated man. He didn't do that. God educated him. God educated him at the feet of Gamaliel. He learned the law. I mean, he learned it to the strictest, to jot and tittle. He learned it, and then Christ revealed himself to him and enabled Paul to apply the gospel to all those ceremonies, all those types, and all those pictures. Paul put it together. He was able to go out into the streets and start preaching Christ immediately because he saw in Christ the Messiah. He saw in Christ the atonement. He saw in Christ the Passover lamb. He saw it immediately. That's why he's saying, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I went to Arabia, and I don't know how long he spent there, how many years he spent there. Then he came back and he preached the gospel of Damascus again. And then after that, verse 18, after that, he did go up to Jerusalem to visit Peter, and he saw James, the Lord's brother. But he went up there to be acquainted with them, not to learn from them. He didn't go to learn from Peter. He went to visit Peter and to be acquainted with Peter. That's why he went there. And Paul, in verse 20, he gives an oath that what he is saying is the truth. He said, what I'm saying is truth. He said, now the things which I write unto you before God, I lie not. I swear the truth. This is, I'm telling you the truth. Now, let me tell you something. If you and I are going to swear before God, we better be right. We better be dead right. Because God will hold us to it. He'll hold us to it. And Paul, with absolute confidence, he said, I swear before God, I'm telling you the truth. God revealed the gospel to me, the gospel I preached to you. I learned it from Jesus Christ himself. And I'm an apostle. And afterwards, he said there in verse 21, and afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. These were adjacent countries. What Paul's doing here, listen, Paul is tracing his movements carefully in order to convince the Galatians that he never learned or sat at the feet of any of the apostles. That's what he's doing. He's tracing his steps, and he's showing them, I didn't visit any of the apostles. Here's my ministry. It's with the Gentiles. And he says, in fact, and I'm going to close here, in fact, in verse 22 and 24, he said that was unknown by faith to the churches in Judea, those around that countryside there around Jerusalem. He said they didn't know me by faith. They couldn't recognize me. If I walked into town, they wouldn't say, well, there's Paul. None of the apostles would have recognized me. They wouldn't have said, hello, Paul, how you doing? He said, they didn't, none of the churches recognized me. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith or the gospel which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. They gave me their approval that I preach the same gospel that the others preach. The other apostles. I preach the same gospel. No different gospel. None at all. They have endorsed my ministry. They've endorsed it. These churches glorify God in me, not because I taught that circumcision and the law of Moses should be observed, but because I preached the same gospel, the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they gave me, so to speak, the right hand of fellowship. What they did. Paul said, I'm an apostle. And what he has recounted here and in chapter 2 is very important. Because he wrote at least half the New Testament that you and I read and we stand on. The gospel he preached is the gospel. And it's all of grace. Not one ounce, not one speck of work. You know, if it's like this, in our day, they say Christ has done all he can do, now the rest is up to you, that's works. If that's left up to me, that's works. Salvation is God saving me from beginning to end. All by grace, all by Christ, all by his blood, all by his righteousness. That's my hope when I die. When I die, Jesus Christ is all my hope.